And this one is, what you need to believe about the Bible. And here's what Paul said to a young man called Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I'm sure all of you understand and realize this morning that foundations are important. In Matthew chapter 7, there was a man who built a house. Actually, two men built houses, but there was one man who built a house. I'm sure it was a fine-looking house. But one dark winter's night, when the winds were strong and the waves were high, the house crumbled and fell. Did he use poor materials? No, that wasn't the problem. Was it the result of bad workmanship? No, that wasn't the problem either. The problem was with the foundation. You see, he built his house on the sand, and the sand shifted and moved. It wasn't able to bear the weight of the house, and the house just disintegrated and crumbled and fell. All of us, and young people in particular, we need a firm foundation, a solid foundation for our faith. We need an unshakable belief and conviction about the Bible. We need to be persuaded that this is God's Word in all its entirety. And so, in a very simple form this morning, I want to show you how you should view your Bible, what you need to think, what you need to believe about it. And I can do that in three words. They're a bit technical, theological, but I'll explain them to you. The first thing is this. You need to believe that the Bible is the inspired, that's the first word, inspired Word of God. Someone described and defined inspiration like this. He said, divine inspiration is the activity of the Holy Spirit, whereby he enables certain men to receive God's special revelation and to speak or write it in their own language and style without error or omission as the very words of God. So this morning we can say three things. First of all, the Bible is divinely revealed. God gave these words to men. Secondly, the Bible was humanly copied by Moses and Malachi, by James and John, and, of course, by others. It was divinely revealed, it was humanly copied, and then through the succeeding generations, it has been perfectly recorded. This is the Word of God. Peter says, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. David said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue. So that you can take the Bible in your hand this morning and look at it with reverence and recognition that this is the very words of God to mankind, to me. The Bible is inspired. The word actually means God breathed. Secondly, you need to understand and believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. That's the second word, infallible. Now, infallible simply means this: the Bible will never be proved wrong. Now, that's a big statement, you say. Yes, it is. A number of years ago, the American space agency, NASA, sent a rocket called Voyager to take close-up photographs of the planet Saturn. Now, before that happened, we were told by the scientists what Saturn was like. It was the ring planet and so on. But when this rocket got close to Saturn and began to send back close-up photographs of the planet, the scientists discovered that what they had previously believed about the planet wasn't right. They were wrong in what they believed. And on the Today program on BBC, they brought in Patrick Moore, the rather eccentric but brilliant astronomer, and they said, "Patrick, what does this mean?" And he said, "It means that the books will have to be rewritten." Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, God's book will never have to be rewritten. This is the word of God that is forever settled in heaven. It is the infallible word of God. It will never be proved wrong. Now, the Bible is not a book of medicine. But it is medically correct. The Bible is not a book of history, but it is historically correct. Excuse me. The Bible is not a book of science, but it is scientifically correct. You young people who are in education, technical college, further education, higher education, university, and so on, here's something I want you to get hold of this morning. Where, if I could get my throat cleared, it would help. Where science and scripture agree, there science is right. Where science and scripture disagree, there science is wrong. Because the Bible is the inspired and the infallible word of God. A man in France 100 years ago wrote a book about science, Things That Disprove the Bible. But no one accepts any of his scientific conceptions today. He's wrong. The Bible's still here. The Bible still stands. It is the inspired and infallible word of God. Now here's the last one. It is the inerrant word of God. Now that simply means this, that the Bible is free from error or omissions or contradictions. There are no errors, there are no contradictions in the Bible. Now, of course, the skeptics and democracy say, well, the Bible's full of contradictions. Mind you, they've never read it, so I don't know how they know that, but that's what they say. So, here's what I want to show you this morning. There are many examples of what people believe are contradictions in the Bible, which aren't really contradictions. And I'm going to take time just to give you one example. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible and, just like I'm doing, open it to Numbers chapter 25. The book of Numbers and chapter 25. Okay? And then I want you to take it and open it in the other direction to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So you have it like this, okay? Bible's lying flat with this large section here. And this is Numbers 25, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, look at verse 9 of Numbers 25. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 8. Keep your Bible open at both. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. Now, this is about the same incident as Numbers 25. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. And the critics latch on to that and they say, there you are. The Old Testament, Moses said it was 24,000. The New Testament, Paul said it was 23,000. It's a glaring contradiction. Now, here's something you need to be careful about. There are some Christians who, to my mind, take a very unsatisfactory view of inspiration. And in order to answer what appears to them to be a problem, here's what they say. They say, well, the number was probably between 23 and 24,000. Moses rounded it up to 24,000, and Paul rounded it down to 23,000, and that's the answer I give you. I am most unhappy about that kind of idea. I am most unhappy about that view of divine inspiration. It is not satisfactory. So is there an answer that is satisfactory? Yes, there is. Sometimes, sadly, sometimes on radio you hear something like this. On the 6 o'clock news it might say, there was a real crash just outside London this morning and 20 people were killed Monday morning. And then you're listening again on Thursday and someone says on Thursday there were 24 people who died in the real crash. Is that a contradiction? I don't think so. You see, what happened was this. On the day of the crash, 20 people died at the scene, in the accident, in the crash. But as well as people who died, there were lots of people who were seriously or even critically injured, and as the result of those injuries received on Monday in the real crash, a day or two later, they died. So that by Thursday, the total number of deaths was 24. Moses writes in Numbers chapter 25 and verse 9 and says, there were 24,000 who died as the result of the plague. What does Paul say? Paul says, in one day, that's the operative word, in one day, 23,000 died. The day God sent the plague, 23,000 people died. But some people obviously got sick with the plague, but they didn't die that day. They might have died the next day or a few days after that. So that the total number who died was 24,000, and the number who died in one day was 23,000. And if there is something in the scripture that you and I can't understand or can't explain, the problems are ignorance. It has nothing to do with God's inspiration. So that you can take your Bible and you can say to yourself, this is the inspired and the infallible and the inerrant word of God. I ask you to accept your Bible like that. I ask you to believe your Bible, whatever man or science may say. I ask you to live your life by its teaching. Here's what Bishop Ryle said. He said, the view that I maintain is that every book and every chapter and every verse and every syllable of the Bible was given by inspiration of God. So, that's what you need to believe about your Bible. Have a high view of inspiration.